But first, let me introduce our next storyteller, another longtime friend of the show. He is a podcaster. He hosts a video game podcast called So Many Bits. Is that a pun? Also related to comedy? I don't know. You be the judge. Please welcome Bill Nielsen.
Yeah, guys. Ring post.
Woo. Pro wrestling, you know, from the beginning to the end of the show, distorts what is real and fake. In other performing arts, you know, expectations are generally set before you sit down, but the WWE, they'll show you a fictionalized scene in a reality show about their lives performing fictionalized scenes performed as reality. Hey, don't forget to watch Total Divas and Total Bellas all on the E! Network, or WWE Network. Other works will try and blur the line of what is real and fake, but few do it as well as WWE. One possible exception, though, may surprise you, and that is the longest-running, game-based, short-form comedy show in the United States, Comedy Sports. Much like in wrestling, Comedy Sports bills itself as a legitimate competitive event. There are teams of performers, points are awarded, and a winner is decided. But while the teams truly don't know who will win in advance, everything else up to that point is carefully considered beforehand. The running order, the games played, even how frequently fouls are called are considered when mapping out the show. It's an impressive sleight of hand, honestly. A lot of times, the audience does not realize they are being influenced and only see a back-and-forth match, competitive, up until the bitter end. I know these things because I used to perform as part of Buffalo's comedy sports troupe, and I continue to sit in with them when I'm in town. Last year, I performed as part of their Improvathon, a series of 25 consecutive shows that serve as a fundraising drive so the team can attend the Comedy Sports World Championships. It's not clear to me, though, if the trip is worthwhile. I mean, in an increasingly strange coincidence, the host city has been crowned world champion 14 years in a row. On Saturday night at about 11 p.m. during this improvathon, it was halftime during one of our shows. Our team was down on the score, so I suggested we play Replay at Bernie's. This is a good opportunity for me to demonstrate how I would explain the game during a show. Hey, folks, have you ever seen the movie Weekend at Bernie's? Ah, you'll catch on soon enough. All right, let's get the show going. To be clear, though, for the sake of everyone listening, you perform a 60 to 90 second improvised scene involving up to four people. Then the audience votes on which of the performers should be killed, at which point the scene is performed again with the deceased player remaining on stage as a corpse animated by the survivors to repeat what happened originally. Repeat until only one person is left to manage everyone. Replay at Bernie's is almost uniformly a crowd pleaser, though it is physically demanding and requires extra care on stage. But I wasn't thinking about that as we began playing the game about 15 minutes later, and I'm killed off after the second iteration of the scene. Now, one of the most reliable bits you can do in Replay at Bernie's is to, with assistance, lift the dead person into a standing position, then have the corpse carefully drift back and forth as though you are going to fall, forcing anyone who is still alive to steady you. But tonight, I decided I could be funnier if I fell on my own. So from my position, and for those of you listening, imagine I'm attempting to touch my toes, but also pretending to be dead. I fell forward. In wrestling and in theater school, they teach you safe ways to fall. At least I assume. I've never actually been to wrestling school or theater school. But I didn't need a degree to know that landing directly on top of my head would be really, really bad. If this were an internet video in August 2016, Baba O'Reilly would be playing over a still image of me, and I'd be saying, you'd probably be wondering why I got myself into this situation right now. Rotate. So, in an act of self-preservation, I shifted my body in midair to lessen my risk of paralysis. Now, some wrestling fans may not know that before he was The Rock, Dwayne Johnson wrestled as Rocky Maivia. And as with many young wrestlers before they fully hit their stride, he had what I always considered a ridiculous-looking finisher called the shoulder breaker. He would lift you upside down and then drop you on his knee, landing shoulder to knee. Now, I thought that would be ridiculous, and in fact, if you look at it, it looks like his knee is taking more of the damage than his shoulder, the opponent's shoulder. But now I no longer doubt the devastating power of that move. I heard an immediate pop and felt pain even before I finished rolling. I heard the audience gasp, much like this, but with my eyes closed, I couldn't even tell exactly where I was. I didn't groan and I didn't stir. I mean, this wasn't a zombie scene we were doing. So I had to stay that way for another couple minutes as we continued to have people shifted around on stage. We did another iteration of the scene. I stayed perfectly still and let them do that. Once it ended, I disappeared backstage, and Dr. My Brain diagnosed that it probably wasn't dislocated, but that I also probably wasn't going to shake it off. When we got to the locker room, I started to realize I'd really messed up, as I couldn't lift my arm above my shoulder. It was doing like, I couldn't get it above this point. And changing clothes was out of the question. Driving home was difficult, and I didn't feel better in the morning. After a quick call to my doctor confirmed I would need to get an x-ray, but probably wouldn't gain anything from visiting ER, I canceled all my remaining shows for the weekend. Though I didn't know it just yet, I had fractured my collarbone. I have fully recovered my range of motion, but it's still not always fun for me to wear a backpack. But I did at least learn two valuable lessons for my troubles. One, throwing yourself headfirst at the ground with your eyes closed is dangerous. And two, maybe I'm not as in control of the show as a performer as I thought I was. Because even knowing all the tricks, and even realizing what I thought was going to happen, I still, lying there in a heap in pain, was like, man, it would be really lame if they had to call an ambulance. Even here, even listening to me now, you hear me using phrases like players and locker room, branded comedy sports terms, not green room and performers. But afterward, more importantly, I was still really satisfied to learn from others. It looked like an incredible fall. Thank you.
Yeah. Bill Nielsen, everybody. If you go to the archives on our website, Bill told another story about improvising with a wrestler. Who was that? Was that Goldberg, Bill?
Rowdy Roddy Piper and Bret Hart.
Rowdy Roddy Piper and Bret Hart. Yeah, Bill improvised with him in Toronto, right?
Nice.
Yeah, so if you go to nerdalogs.com, under podcast search for Bill Nielsen, you can find that story. It's pretty wild. Bill is a huge wrestling fan. Obviously, that was super great. I just wanted to point out I brought up my buddy Roadblock here. He chills with Sergeant Slaughter. He's got those bona fides. You know, he's my boy. You guys should watch the G.I. Joe movie. It's pretty tight. Anyway, it's actually not that good. But there's